now your host, self-made millionaire and national award-winning investor of the year, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. So this week, I elected to take on the challenge of trying to get you guys to interact with me so that I can find out what it is that's keeping you from taking the next step in your life towards financial freedom. And I got a lot of emails, which brought up a bunch of questions that I will be working with today. However, the questions are much better dealt with if you call me live on the phone. So if you could take just a moment out of your busy schedule today as you're listening to the show, something comes to your mind, stop, give us a call. The number here is 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. If you are afraid of speaking on the radio for some odd reason, then send me an email. Send it to me at askdel@luinc.com. That's ask, A-S-K-DEL, D-E-L, at luinc.com. Be happy to answer your questions for you. Today, I'm going to start with a question that I think is rather interesting. A gentleman sent an email that said something along these lines. I don't have the exact email, just have it in my mind here, that he said, you know, I'm really sorry that I didn't get started in this about 10 years ago. I started listening to Steve and you on the radio 10 years ago, and I didn't take action. But now, at this point in my life, I'm too old to take action. Now, let's talk about the timing of taking action. As a topic itself, when is the right time to take action in your life on something that needs to change? I'm surprised how often people tell me something like, I'm going to lose weight just as soon as. I want to get by my birthday. I want to get by Christmas. I want to get by Thanksgiving. When the truth of the matter is, you could start your diet today and you could eat everything you want on your birthday and it wouldn't mess up your diet. You could eat everything you want on Thanksgiving. It wouldn't mess up your diet. See, the diet is taking effect each and every day that you're participating in healthy eating habits. To look at it as if it's going to be a stretch of time, I'm going to diet for this amount of time to get this result, is the wrong approach in life. You need to think about it as, I've decided to become a healthy eater, a happy eater. Another way to look at it is to say, I've decided to be a thinner person. And thinner people, they have Thanksgiving. And thinner people, they have birthdays. And none of that is a problem to thin people, because thin people live a certain way all of the time. And then when that thing comes up, for instance, I got one just the other day. Well, I'm thinking about doing this just as soon as I go on vacation. I get a vacation once a year, and I don't want to start something before my vacation. Well, why not? By the time you go on your vacation in August, you could have already set up everything you need to be in position to come back and purchase your property and retire. But instead, you wait till after August, and you know what's going to happen. Something's going to happen in August, or before August, or right after August. Something's going to start, or is going to get in your way from starting at that point also. I have people come back into Last House all the time. Man, I was here 8 years ago when you guys used to be over there on Hillcroft. Or, wow, man, I've been here, haven't been here in 4 years, but I should have started 4 years ago. We hear it all the time, where someone will come in, they'll get the information, but they'll put off starting. And when you put off starting, all you're doing is giving life opportunities to throw more stuff in front of you. The perfect time to start anything is right now. So if you've elected to change who you are, I'm no longer going to be a poor individual. I'm no longer going to be a middle-class individual financially. I'm going to move away from being middle-class financially. I'm going to move towards being wealthy. That's a lifestyle decision. There's many things that will come to play in that. And if you change who you are, then you'll change the results that you get. But as long as you believe that making money is going to be just a thing you go do, then you're probably going to fail anyway. Being wealthy is a way of life. It takes a change of lifestyle and mentality. For instance, I have a really hard time spending money because I was so poor when I was young. My family was so poor. I was so frugal that I saved everything. And being a poor person in mind has held me back so many times because I'm always afraid to take the next step because I've been so poor, I don't want to lose what I have. It wasn't until I got to the point where I had a ridiculous amount of money that I was able to overcome that. And the way I overcame that was I told myself, I'm going to start spending money frivolously on a regular basis. Now, when I started doing this, I tried to figure out what I could waste some money on, because by then I was making a lot of money. Remember, I couldn't do this until I made so much money I didn't need any more money. But the concept was I was going to change who I was because I was tired of having a lot of money and being a poor person. I needed to become a wealthy person. So I looked around and I tried to buy yachts for a while. I hung out with yacht people for about a year. And what I saw with yacht people was is most of them are really, really old, because you got to be old to be able to afford something like that. And they're out in the sun and their skin is all leathery and they spend just a boatload of money, literally a boatload of money, just to drive a yacht. Just the gas to go out for one day was excruciating. But the part that got me was, is that it takes so much time just to maintain a boat that it wasn't worth it. For the 8 hours or 4 hours a weekend I'd go out and be on a boat, you had to take care of the boat every day. You had to put it somewhere. You had to have it cleaned. Inevitably, they break down because they're not used on a regular basis like a car is. They need to be serviced. And so after all of that, I decided the boat wasn't for me. See, I couldn't force myself to waste the money on the boat because there was a way that I lived. I tried motorhomes. Yeah, we went out and we looked at all kinds of motorhomes. They weren't nearly as expensive and nearly as difficult to deal with, but you still had to park them somewhere and you had to load them up and unload them. And, you know, that's just a heck of a lot of work to me. See, to me, money is supposed to make life easier, not more complicated. And so the motorhome thing didn't stick. I mean, we went out and followed around a motorhome crew one time and, you know, pulled into a little motorhome park. And that just wasn't me either. And that wasn't wealthy either. It wasn't rich. Rich people don't drive around in motorhomes. Rich people have taxi, pick them up at the front door, take them to the airport, drop them off right at the entrance. Somebody carries their luggage, puts it away. You get on the plane, and you live first class all the way to wherever you're going, and while you're there. So then I realized it. I realized that I didn't even understand how to be wealthy, how to live wealthy, how to act wealthy. And so I started changing. I started picking up the tab everywhere and giving people things. I started buying unnumbered amounts of gifts for my girlfriend and for my daughter. Our Christmases were exotic. We upgraded in homes. We upgraded in automobiles. And then there was still nothing more to buy. But we didn't need anything more because we had changed the way we lived. When did I do that? I did it all along the way. That's the way you're going to become wealthy, a little bit at a time. As you overcome your fears, your weaknesses, the things that are holding you back right now are your ideas. They're your paradigms about life. Your middle class mentality has got you tied to middle class. Because just as soon as I started to think like a wealthy person, I started to do larger and larger real estate deals to where I started making $1 million a deal or better in a year or in less. Large, very large chunks of money. But I could never have done that before because I looked at it like you're looking at it. This is something I'm going to do someday in the future, right after I do something else. And if that's the way you see the world, that's the world you're going to live in. 866-606-TALK. 866-606-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Our number here is 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. Holding through the break is Michael from Sugarland. Michael, how can we help you today?
Dell, I'm smiling because a rich man once told me, if you can fly it, float it, or you can kiss it, it's better to rent it. I just was giving you a call. Just a comment, because I was one of those guys that joined a number of years ago. And, you know, I've talked a few times, but life got in the way. But anyways, I joined as a preferred member last month, and I'm going through my first 30 days and process of acquiring my first small apartment complex, my wife and I. So just thank you for what you do. Thanks for the encouragement. Listen to you every day, and you help sharpen the saw every day and help keep us motivated. So we're on the path, and looking forward to the journey.
Well, Michael, I appreciate your call, and I wish you'd take just a second now and share some stuff with people. Having, you know, delayed and then came back because life got in the way, what was it that finally got you to come back and take action?
You know, there's always this, you know, I came from the health club industry as well, and you know, we call it a significant emotional experience. And for me, it was, I had a little scare with cancer, and you know, kind of looked at my life. It's like, okay, you know, all of a sudden it puts this realization that time's going by, and am I accomplishing the goals that I want to accomplish? Am I getting out of life everything that I want to get out of it? And you know, we've got good corporate jobs and earn a good living, but it's not going to get me to where I want to be in life, you know, for myself and my family. So it was really that. Luckily everything's okay, and that's passed, but that shock factor remained, and that's what really motivated, you know, me. And also, we had a, you know, kind of at the same time, we have a we bought one single family investment property and followed the Lifestyles model, and it worked great, so great that we got a tenant in there that we literally didn't hear from for 6 years, except for just a check every month showing up in the mailbox. So it was just out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, and it wasn't until they decided, like, hey, we're going to move out, that was kind of like, oh, okay, well, we need to relearn this stuff. So it was really those two things that, you know, that got us back in the game, so to speak.
That's great. Glad to hear it. And I'm glad to hear that you had your little pass with cancer and walked right by it. That's good to hear. Now, this apartment, this is going to be different than the house. The house is exactly, you did it right. You buy a good one, you put a good tenant in it, you leave it alone, never touch it. Apartments now need to be managed. And you're going to need to have good staff to manage it. Otherwise, you're going to end up managing it. So it's going to be a different angle for you. But I'd like to ask you this. So far as you've come along in the process, what has stood out to you? Does it seem easier than you thought it would be, or harder than you thought it would be? Or, you know, where is it mentally on going through the process?
Going through the education process, you mean?
No, the buying of the apartment, now that you're in the process of buying it.
Well, we're still on the education process. We met with John Ridgway yesterday. And so we're still, you know, kind of deciding. It sounds like it's best to buy my own apartment. You know, either that or doing the sort of a partnership or passive lead investor. So we're kind of deciding that right now. And then in the process of the first 30 days, going through all the training and all the education. So we're doing the orientation this Wednesday. And so we're just kind of at the foot of the mountain in terms of learning how to acquire and locate a property, and then working with the different lenders of getting qualified for a loan on a small property. So we're that's the point that we're at. So I'm just constantly focusing on what's the next step in the process. But that's what
that's good. In fact, so many people, Michael, try to wait till all the lights are green on the process. In other words, I'm going to go from Houston to Dallas, but I'm waiting for all the lights to turn green. It doesn't work that way. You go 1 inch into the process, and then you'll figure out you need to learn inch two and so forth. So you're exactly right. I want to thank you for calling, and I will ask you to do me another favor, just since you seem like such a nice guy. After you take your first road trip, which is the epiphany point for most people, give us a call back and tell us what you thought about the road trip. Because when you go out there and you see one and you smell one and you touch one and somebody gives you their financials where you can look at it in live time, real time, is where most people say, wow, I just got it. It was the epiphany moment for almost everybody. So give us a call back after you get through that process and let us know how it feels.
I'll keep in the loop on every, along the way.
I appreciate it. And as always, Michael, if you ever need me for anything, you know that I am your last and highest mentor in the group. So you work all the way through the process. You've got about 8 people working for you right now. But if you need me, you can email me or call me anytime. So I appreciate the call.
Well, I tell you, that's what's been impressive, too, is the staff and the people at your organization. They're truly professional, and they've done this. They understand the fears, everything that you go through to get this from a beginner standpoint and walking you through. And, when you take something, how do you eat a whale? It's one bite at a time. They just help you through each next step. So I appreciate everything y'all do.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate your call. Well, 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. And Michael hit it right on the head. It takes that significant happening in your life, that moment, that thing that really kicks it in for you. I've been lucky enough to have that happen in my life many, many times. But I think that one of the reasons it happens in my life is because I look for it to happen. I kind of stick my toe out into the water as often as I can for something to happen to change my life. And he's right. You get that stimulus, and you start wondering, am I getting everything I want out of life? And you constantly have to ask yourself that. Am I getting everything out of life that I want? That's the real question. I think you probably framed it better than I did today, Mike. We are going to go on here, but as we go into the next break, I want you to think about this. When is it too late to want money? When is it too late to want to build financial freedom? I mean, I don't care how old you are. If you're 65 years old, like this gentleman talked about, doesn't he still need passive income as much as a guy that's 55? How could it be too late when it only takes, as little as 30 days to buy a rent house and change your life? As the example Michael gave, positive cash flow for 6 years. Just think about how much an extra $500 a month would mean to you, even if you only did one house, or 1,000, or 5,000. It could change your life. When do you not need that anymore? 866-606-8255. We'll return in a moment. Wow. Some new music. Excellent. Excellent choice. Welcome back to the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. 866-606-TALK. 866-606-8255. Rocking out here today. Give us a call. Let's talk about what's holding you back. One of the things that's held people back in the past is that they've tried something and it didn't work out very well. You're thinking about, I can't do real estate because I'm too old. Why do you think that you're too old? Well, because you're doing the wrong type of real estate. Because it's been difficult on you before in the past, or because it was difficult for somebody else you knew. Maybe your parents had some real estate. But most people that end up with real estate end up with it as sort of a reluctant landlord kind of person. In other words, they got married and they each had a house and had an extra house, or somebody died and left them a house, or something crazy. But here's a perfect example. I had a gentleman send me a nice email the other day, and he was very, very nice about it when I explained to him that I just wouldn't do the type of real estate he's doing instead of wanting to answer his question. But I want you to understand why I would tell this person not to do this type of real estate. I'll leave out the first part we talked about, you know, listening to the show and everything. Just get right to the meat. Would you please help me analyze a building with five efficiency units? Used to be a cabinet shop. The present owner and developer converted it to the existing five units, which are 17 feet by 30 feet, 600 square, or 17 by 30 square foot areas. And they rent for $600 a month each on a month-to-month basis. Now, let's just think about this for a second. This guy's got a building that's got five efficiency units that was never designed to be a rental property or to be a housing even, for that matter. It was a cabinet shop. So I guarantee you that there's something about that property that is out of code. You know, some developer just developed five units. A person doesn't develop five units and be a developer. A person that develops five units out of a cabinet shop is not a developer. He is a mom and pop construction guy who was built with a hammer in his hand. He wanted an excuse to use his tools. There's no way this thing is within code. Secondly, who would live in an efficiency? All right? Well, we go further in this question, you'll see that it's even worse than what we first started out. It says they pay electric as separate meters and water and trash. The water and trash is paid by the owner. There's a new septic system, which used to be tied to, which is also tied to a 50 by 160 by 16 foot high metal building used to manufacture trailers on 2.8 acres. So now we're getting the real picture here. Now we have a real picture. The picture is this ugly little building out in the middle of nowhere next to this big metal building. Who is going to live there? I'll tell you, Purple Martians. You are going to be renting to the worst possible tenants you could rent to. And you're collecting, they're on month-to-month leases, which means, unlike what Michael said, he put a tenant there and the person lived there for 6 years, these people can leave anytime they want. Trying to get them to pay is almost impossible. On a month-to-month basis, they probably have no security deposits. They come and go as they wish. There's no controlling them on an efficiency, month-to-month based type operation like this. Can you bring in some cash flow? Yeah, you can bring in cash flow. But the headaches that go along with that cash flow could be humongous. Then he wants to take the metal building and turn it into a storage unit and turn the rest of the 2 acres into a storage lot for boats and trailers. Okay, look, there's a million ways to make money. And I'm not saying to this gentleman that you can't make money on this deal. What I'm saying to you is somebody has to administer those storage units. Somebody has to collect that rent. Somebody has to watch to make sure that stuff's not getting stolen. Somebody has to evict the people that don't pay. Yeah, the storage lot's probably pretty easy to deal with. But again, if they don't pay, you got to deal with it. So, you know, what happens here is that you run into a situation where you've got a business that is full of headaches. Now, let's compare that to what the Lifestyles model really is. The Lifestyles model is you go buy a rent house, you put a tenant in it, and they pay you for the next 5 years, and you never hear from them. Or the Lifestyles model is you buy a big enough business, an apartment that has a manager that manages all of that stuff for you so that you put less than 4 hours a month into your business. And that's about how much I put into my apartment business, less than 4 hours a month. And so it's completely different. And you need to understand that. If you want to get the results that we talk about all the time on this radio show, you're going to have to do the types of real estate we talk about. Doing the wrong type may make you some money, but it will not provide you with the lifestyle. Now, I have to tell you, I've got some callers calling in, and everybody wants to beat me up. They want to beat me up about boats. They want to beat me up about yachts, you know. Everybody has their little hobby they love, and I love it. That's great. So I'm going to let some people take their shot at me. But first of all, I got a call here. Looks like it's Lynn from Dallas. Lynn, how can we help you today?
Hi, Dale. Of course, you know me.
Yes,
and I was
we all know
to
you,
your...
Lynn.
I was listening to the show today, and I realized that I have a story that really resonates with this that I don't think I've shared with you.
Well, let's have it.
So I moved from California to Dallas about 12 years ago because I was going through a divorce. So I was a single mom with two young boys and had very little to my name. I was completely starting over. I snapped. I walked out, said, "You keep it all. I can do it again." And I came to Texas because of the landlord laws and because of the lack of state income tax. That was my criteria for finding a place to move because I knew real estate worked, but the way that I had learned it really didn't work. It was tenants, taxes, and toilets. It was about the long-term hold and appreciation in California. And then life got in the way. And it was about 9 years later that I heard you on the radio and realized, oh my gosh, I came here to do this, and 9 years have gone by because of exactly what you said. Well, as soon as I get back on my feet, as soon as the kids are, you know, in middle school, as soon as, and life just passes you by when you do that. So I heard you on the radio just one time and came in, took the free workshop, signed up, and immediately began getting all the education and working with mentors, and then life got in the way again. And part of it was fear, overcoming fear. Part of it was just the grind of everyday work. And I think people can really relate to that. You know, you're tired when you come home from work. Making that car go someplace other than home is almost a Herculean effort. And what happened to me is that I got a phone call from my husband that our son really wasn't feeling well at all, took him into the doctor, and the preliminary diagnosis was lymphoma.
Wow.
And so in the ensuing days, you know, he wasn't quite sure, and of course there's a lot that you have to go through in order to figure that out. His throat was just completely infected and racked as well, so he had to have his tonsils out. And all this is going on, but I have to work. So my son is at home, terrified that he's going to die at 13 years old, and calling me at work over and over and over again with all these different concerns, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking that this is totally wrong. This is not what life should be. What is life worth if you can't be there for your kids, for your family, for the people who need you when they need you? And that was the turning point for me. And I had bought some properties, and I was, you know, almost to the point of being able to do something. And I decided just to jump off that cliff. I said, I know real estate works. I know how to do it. I have the team and the mentors around me. I need to spend time with my family. And a combination of things have been going on at work. And I walked in the door just as the recession hit and said, I'm out. I'm done. Nothing is worth this. And I walked out the door and have never looked back since. I'm so glad I made the decision. But just like the other people that you're talking about and talking to today, wish I'd made it sooner.
Wow, that's a great story, Lynn. Well, let me restate that. Boy, that's a sad story, Lynn, but a great one to share for other people. Appreciate the call in. That does add to what we're talking about today. And I'd also like to say that must have been one potent radio show that you only listened to me one time. I must have gone crazy that day or something.
Oh, so, I think it was a show like today. It was just motivational and really hit home.
Well, I appreciate the call. As we got to go into another break here, folks, I want to give you the number. It's 866-606-8255. Tony, I hope you can hang on through the break also. Looks like your question is rather in depth. I want to make sure that you get enough time for it. So again, 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. We'll be right back with Tony's question. Welcome back to the last segment of the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Our number here is 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. And we will have time for some more callers. Holding now through the break, though, to start things off is Tony from Grand Prairie. Tony, how can we help you today?
Yeah, how you doing, Dale? I want to ask you a question. I was doing some analysis, looking at a 5 to 10 unit apartment complex, and I want to ask you what the expenses usually run on that, assuming the tenant is paying the bills. You know, are there any rules of thumbs on something like that?
Typically, in something like this right now, we're operating our apartment complexes at an average of about $48 per square foot. Is about what it's costing. on these operational costs, $48 per square foot. So the other way to look at it is most of these properties operated about a 52% margin. In other words, if you take all the income, subtract all the expenses, about 52% of the gross income is still there. Now, that's not counting the mortgage. You know, if you pay cash, that's how much would be there. So you look at that, we're talking about at $48 per unit. $4,800, now I really sound dumb. It's $4,800 per unit, to be exact. Something like $4,850 per unit per year to operate a property like this. And it's like, I can tell you exactly what it is if you want to know. The operating expenses are $4,823 a unit, which is $5.42 per square foot. How's that for accuracy?
Okay, that's right.
Just happen to have the numbers right in front of me when you ask that question.
Okay.
So any other questions? That's a good question.
Yeah,
that I messed up.
That's right. What about the? Can you find a property manager to run something that small, 5 to 10 unit? I was looking on there. I seen this company called the REM. I think it's the. It's the Institute of Real Estate Management, and they actually handle properties. The CPM will do properties 50 units or more, all the way up to 200 or 300 units, and the IREM will do 50 units or less, the smaller.
Yeah, you don't need any of that. Property management for a small property, like 5 to 10 units, the knowledge base to be able to do it is going to be in your head, but the activity level is going to be an on-site person, somebody who lives there. For example, when I had my first 10-unit, I had a lady that worked for me. I paid her like $50 a month plus $100 every time she would lease a unit. So what did she do? She did everything. She collected the rent, gave receipts out. She would, if maintenance had to be done, they would tell her. She'd call one of my vendors. I had all the contracts set up before she did it. She didn't have to negotiate anything. She just knew which vendors I had elected to do the work. She'd call them. They'd take care of the work. They'd bill me. If somebody moved out, she'd put a sign in the yard, put an ad in the green sheet. People would call her from the sign or the green sheet, and she'd show them the unit. I didn't have to do any of that. So she really took all the work out of my hands for a very small amount of money. Now, I got to think about it. On her side, to not be able to work because you have kids and live at home, to be able to pick up an extra $50 every month for doing almost nothing, or you could pay her as much as $100 or $200, $500, whatever you want to pay her.
Okay.
And to be able to pick up, you know, income every time you rent something, because if you're not renting something, there's very little for her to do, almost nothing. If she's renting something, well, then she gets paid an extra $100. So there's incentive for her to take the time to show the unit and fill out the application, send it into the credit reporting agency. So it's pretty easy. And I think maybe my 10 unit was 20 years ago or whatever. So $100 or $50 is probably out of line right now. You might have to pay her a couple $100. But the thing is, you still don't want to work there. If you can't make sense of it without a manager, then you don't want to buy it, because then it's going to become an additional job for you.
Yes. Well, how many units should you get to start to have like an on-site manager?
You're going to need an on-site manager from 5 units up. I just said that. But what happens is, as you start to buy larger properties, it becomes a job. So now you're going to have to pay somebody to do it. And so when you get up to 20 units, you know, you might be paying $1,000 a month. You get up to 40 units, you might be paying $2,000 a month. You get up to 60 units, you're paying $2,500 a month. You get up to 100 units, you're paying $3,000 a month, et cetera, et cetera. But there's going to be somebody at every level. They just get more expensive because they're doing more work. And correspondingly, as they get more expensive because they're doing more work, you're also able to hire a more, a higher level of education. In other words, they know how to do the job better. And those people come from the apartment association. So whatever city you're in or large city you're close to that has an apartment association, that's where you get those people. Those people put their resumes up like in Houston, the Houston Apartment Association's website, and that's where we find these people.
Okay, then. All right. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I wanted to ask you one more quick question. Say if you're doing some analysis of a property, and you, I know you buy it. They got a bunch of them on LoopNet, but, you know, those old property there, nobody don't want. But there's some people that actually done found some good ones on LoopNet, and you buy them based on actual numbers. And when they run the analysis on the software, and it might be a bad deal, but they would turn around and redo the calculations and turn that bad deal into a good deal and you know, write the letter of intent and put that offer in based on that. Do y'all have a software to actually do that? You know, it breaks the numbers down and everything. And
no, at Lifestyles, we have a spreadsheet that does all the numbers, okay? But what's more important is we have experts who have been doing this for 25 years. So we actually do that with you on every deal you do to make sure you're putting the right numbers in there. But you're right.
Okay.
The stuff on LoopNet is the stuff that the seller wants more than what the numbers make sense for. And the only way you can make anything work off of LoopNet is simply either to find somebody, a seller, that has changed his mind and is now more realistic, or in the other way to do it is to find a deal that really has a lot of hidden value that you know you can turn around, just like you're stating. So you're right on target right now, okay? You've got the right idea, Tony. I would hope, though, that you would at least come and see us if you haven't, because the apartment business is something you probably want to have somebody with you, at least the first deal, to help you every inch of the way. So I hope you think about coming in for some help on that. But otherwise, you sound like you're right on track.
Okay, Dan. All right. Thank you, Rick.
Well, folks, Tony wrapped up the day for us. Looks like we're going to have to come back tomorrow. But remember, as we go through all this, we're not going through this just to make a little bit more money. We're going through it to change our lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.